The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for they were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Do you remember your first Valentine? I mean the first Valentine person, not the card. I mean the real Valentine, the girl or guy you really had your eye on. Well, for me, it was in first grade many years ago. The girl's name was Darlene Gelsing. Nothing ever came of that. But a number of years ago, I did sit and talk with Darlene after my brother-in-law's funeral, as Darlene's dad and my sister's husband had been cousins, so, you know, she was there at the funeral. Our relationship with God is very much a matter of the heart. Not that romantic Valentine heart, but the spiritual heart by which he calls us his own. In our text today from Matthew 5, Jesus is responding to the people who felt that they had a right relationship with God that was simply based on a matter of etiquette, rules, or behavior, all those outward things, if you will. But Jesus points us to look at what you have been given, which is our theme this morning. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus demands of us pure hearts, which is our first point. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was addressing a culture that based its view of righteousness on outward actions, much as society does today. By seemingly expanding the law, the scribes and Pharisees had actually reduced the law into a list of do's and don'ts that they thought could be kept. To which Jesus responded, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, those folks back then did not have perfection, and neither do we. Jesus points out that the heart is where the commandments are kept. He says, "You have heard what the ancients were told, you shall not murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court." The Pharisees had reduced this commandment to the obvious law that they could keep quite nicely. Jesus points out in our text that that heart of the commandments is what's in the heart. He says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Strong words from our Savior Jesus. Most of us have probably never physically killed anyone. But how perfect is our love towards someone else? What about the anger or the words which cut someone else down to size or put them in their place? What about insulting someone or holding sinful grudges which are reflective of a heart that is not as pure as we think it is. Those things are just as sinful as killing another human. It's a matter of the heart. And then Jesus also addresses the sixth commandment. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" Jewish society in Jesus' day was very lax on the sanctity of marriage. Sounds a lot like today. Jesus is pointing out that the sixth commandment is not simply a matter of outward acts of extramarital sex. It too is a matter of the heart. We read, "But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And it was said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of dismissal.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the cause of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." It's not just affairs, but affairs of the heart that are sinful. Wandering eyes, or getting a divorce just because, well, we're not getting along. What about breaking the vows that were taken at the altar? These are just as sinful as open acts of adultery because they're examples of not loving our spouse from the heart with the same kind of love that we have been loved with by our Heavenly Father. And then Jesus touches on the eighth commandment. "You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord." The Pharisees had developed an elaborate code determining that, well, some oaths you really had to keep, but others you can kind of let slide. Their purpose was to allow deceit, a solemn outward appearance, while lying in the heart. Any lie is sinful, whether it's given in the pretense of an oath or not. Taking an oath can't make a deceiving heart pure. Tearing someone else down through a gossiping tongue is something that needs to be repented of. We must be more righteous than just an outward keeping of the law. God wants us to have true righteousness in the heart. And when that heart is pure, when it's forgiven, it will not produce selfish anger, insults, grudges, lust, divorces, or lies. So how well have we done with that? We each answer that for ourselves. At times, it doesn't seem fair. We can restrain ourselves from killing others or from having affairs, but we can't control all those little sins that just pop right out of the heart. The heart always slips and generates those selfish thoughts, or lets our tempers snap so that harmful words just blurt out. And hey, our eyes are open. Temptations just blink at us. Our old nature says, surely we can't be responsible or held accountable for that. But Jesus says, we are. He says, stop making excuses. It's time to step up to the altar and confess your sins and receive God's forgiveness through the voice and hand of your pastor. It's the heart that causes sin. To be righteous, the heart needs to be renewed. Look at what you have been given. Secondly, Christ gives us pure hearts. It is the shed blood of Jesus that purifies our hearts. We all know how important our physical heart is. It keeps pumping blood through the body to keep us alive. It is the blood which Jesus shed upon Calvary's cross, which provides the cleansing for every last one of our sins. It is His blood which is applied to our lives in holy baptism, which declares us to be righteous in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. That is the same shed blood which we receive in Holy Communion for the forgiveness of our sins each time it is offered. Christ's blood gives us the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, which Jesus was mentioning. Our sins, the big outward ones and the small ones hidden in the recesses of our hearts, they're all washed away. Jesus' blood is paid for every murder and every harsh word, every affair and divorce, and every look that was too long, every false word of the tongue, and every promise that we broke. Though our hearts are by nature totally corrupt, God declares him to be righteous in and through the work of his Son. Our sins are forgiven through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus on our behalf. Christ's blood gets our hearts pumping in a righteous manner. His blood makes us alive when we were dead. His blood gives us eternal life. That is truly a life-sustaining blood. And God has sent us the Holy Spirit, who continually transforms our hearts. That's not a one-shot deal, but it is an ongoing process as we daily repent of our sins and receive His holy absolution. Remember the prayer of David, who simply said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David knew and confessed his sin, and he was asking the Holy Spirit to change him within. When we believe in Jesus, a radical change does occur. The Holy Spirit creates a new heart and spirit within us. Our heart is now righteous and forgiven, even though it's living alongside what remains of our old sinful nature. The Holy Spirit lives in us so that our hearts are continually communing with Him. It is that same Holy Spirit working through word and sacrament who enables our hearts to produce pure actions. Our sinful nature will continue to sin, hence our need for confession and absolution and the Lord's Supper. The new heart does love our neighbor, does honor our spouse, and does treat others with honesty and integrity. That righteousness has been given to us in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.